Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio for this. Here we are, Friday, and we are into the second day of October 2020 on 1030 Tucson's trusted source for news talk. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts of the show at buckmastershow.com. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, on Friday, we like to do a big shout out to the folks that support us by putting the Buckmaster Show logo prominently displayed on their particular websites, which means folks can just click over to my program and they can hear the podcast. TucsonSentinel.com, thanks to Dylan Smith. Dan Shear in the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan is with me in studio, so I can say personally, thank you, Dan, for your support.
Sure.
The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today features the two candidates for Pima County Sheriff. Incumbent Republican Sheriff Mark Napier is with us, and former Sheriff Democrat Chris Nanos. Sheriff Napier, thanks for coming in.
I'm happy to be here, Bill. Thank you.
Chris Nanos, good to see you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sheriff Napier beat Mr. Nanos in the 2016 race after Mr. Nanos was appointed sheriff in 2015 with the retirement of longtime Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. I think Clarence Dupnik served about as long. At one point, I think, Chris, maybe you can help me out. I think he was the longest serving sheriff in the United States in that position.
So. Yeah, he was nine terms.
A long time. Yeah. Joining me in our conversation, Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, editorial director of the two dozen newspapers owned by the Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. One of Dan's duties is traveling all over the western United States to visit these different publications. And I think he has a trip coming up to Minnesota in January.
Isn't the timing great? Yeah, Minnesota, New Mexico, North Dakota, and Montana. Great.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
All right. Chris Nanos, why did you decide to get into this, Chris?
Well, in 2016, after the election, my wife and I decided to enjoy our retirement and travel around, and we did a lot of traveling and a lot of great times away with family and that. But I was hearing from several people who were not happy with the way things were going at the department, several people within the department. You know, when you spend 30-plus years in an agency, you become family. I mean, I tell people all the time, who do you spend with 8 hours a day for 30-plus years other than your wife probably, but really you don't. And so they are family. And I understood that, you know, change is hard, and I just kind of left it alone. But as the years went on, I started hearing more and more. And this last summer, a year ago, I started hearing from people that didn't support me, that weren't on my side. They actually endorsed Mark, and they were members of the association, including the board of the association, and they called and met with me and asked me to run. And I told them the only way I'd ever run is if I had the support of the department. I don't want to be in charge of a group of people that don't want me there. So time went on, and I told them I'd think about it, and the calls kept getting to be more and more, and not just from them, but more and more people within the organization, civilians, corrections,
and they deputies. said go for it.
Well, when they gave him a vote of non-confidence that September last year, they called me again, and I said, "Well, I'll give it some thought." And then I want to say October or so, a billboard went up, and it basically had my picture on it. They sent me. I was sitting at home. I got a text of a picture of this billboard. I thought it was just a Photoshop thing. Okay. And kind of blew it off. But once that went up, it said they wanted me back, and I thought, I would talk with my wife, and we decided, yes, we're going to do this.
Sheriff Napier, why did you decide to run for another 4-year term?
Well, Bill, there's still work to be done. And as my opponent points out, that change is not always going to be an easy thing. And it's not going to be agreeable to anybody, not everybody, most certainly. And we still got work to do. We just launched our reform plan. We're about to start a new district out at Robles Junction. We're finally starting to turn the corner on this change, but we're not there yet. And when any time that you unelect an incumbent, it is a cry for change. And change is not always going to be embraced by everybody. And there's more work to be done. And I do have broad support on the department. I'm proud to say that this morning I obtained the endorsement of both Corrections Officers Association. So the entirety of our Corrections Bureau has indicated endorsement of me just this morning. I just got that. Along with the Fraternal Order of Police, which is another representative body of our department. And then 35 commanders and 63 sergeants have signed a letter of support for me. So this implication or this innuendo that I don't have the support of the department is simply not true. But that being said, this is not a popularity contest. I was elected to be the sheriff of this county and to run that agency in an effective and businesslike manner, and that's what I'm doing.
All right. Sheriff Napier, what has been said about you, and I'll ask Chris Nanos his opinion also, what's been said about you that you would like to set the record straight right off the bat here on the program?
Two things. One, that I don't have the support of the department. That's categorically untrue. Secondly, I've never been found guilty of perjury. I'm not appealing that crime. That is a false statement. I've never been found guilty of lying, period. And that record needs to be set straight. So those are the two things that I think the record needs to be cleared on.
What about you, Chris Nanos? Anything that you would like to clear the record on?
Well, if you were talking about the lying issue and the charges of perjury, that wasn't Chris Nanos that said that. That was Mike Helen, the former chair of the Republican Party here in Pima County, the Merit Commission chairman, other merit commissioners. They came out and said, it's on the news, there's video of it, that said Mark committed perjury. Mark and his chiefs lied under oath at that commission. But it's more than that. Mark also was said to have lied by Kristen Langstrom, who is the attorney from the Community Law Enforcement Partners Commission, which Mark was the head of. She said Mark lied. Steve Diamond, in front of the Board of Supervisors at a different time, said Mark had lied. Mm-hmm. The largest association, and Mark knows this, they endorsed him. These were deputies. The men and women on the street who take those calls, their sergeants, those people, they're the ones who endorsed Mark and have given him a vote of no confidence. That's the largest organization. He can talk about the FOP and the COs, but he knows that those are the smaller ones. So
Mark,
the embellishment of this is shocking to the conscience, especially somebody that's been a law enforcement officer for 40 years. You most certainly know what the Title 13 definition of perjury is, my friend. You also know what the definition of appealing is. And you most certainly know that under Title 38, the Law Enforcement Merit Council has no authority to find me guilty of any crime. So the fact that others said it, you put it on a billboard. Nobody else did that. That was authorized by Chris Nanos. You need to own that. I ask you in a legal document to simply make this right. That's all you had to do. And this would have been behind us. The demand letter gave you the chance to say, you know what, a mistake was made. And we could have moved forward with that. But this is going to continue to be an issue, and you owe me an apology. That was authorized by Chris Nanos. And the fact that four people out of the 1 million people in this county have an innuendo that I was untruthful, when you also know with absolute certainty that was investigated by not one but two county attorney offices, the Pinal County Attorney's Office and the Pima County Attorney's Office. And it wasn't some funky rule. A Rule 15 determination is important in our career field. The Brady list is important. They did not even find a reason to put me on the Brady list or a Rule 15 determination. That's the facts. These are documented facts, not innuendos.
Absolutely. Please let me respond.
Sure.
First of all, I do know what perjury is, and he knows what perjury is. He also knows what lying is, and he knows what lying under oath is. And he was put under oath, and to this day, the inescapable, the undeniable fact from this man, who has never said once that he didn't lie, has never come out with, why did they call you a liar? Why did four different people out of a million, out of four different people at four different times, at four different events, say, four good people in this community who are stand-up people, say, Mark Napier lied? Why would they do that, Mark? Why don't you address what it was they were talking about specifically? See, I have the transcripts to those hearings, and I know exactly what it was you did when you lied. And it had to do with your bullying and your intimidation. Mm-hmm. And your tactics here today about giving me some simple answer to your lawsuit? Come on, Mark. You said I needed to step down. That's simple. Come on, Mark. You know very well that if you sue me, that's why you won't sue me. I hope you sue me. If you sue me, we will have a First Amendment countersuit, and you will be paying through the nose.
Go ahead, Dan.
Chris Nanos, in a recent debate, and you had been telling us that you guys are doing an awful lot of these. It's a high-profile race. In a recent debate, you appeared put off that the moderator would bring up certain details from your brief term as sheriff, including an FBI investigation. You weren't sheriff for long, but you were in a leadership position in that department for years. Don't you bear some of the responsibility that went down that year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always take responsibility, something my opponent has never done. He won't admit mistakes. He won't do. He has deflection for everything that's gone wrong with that agency. And yet today, yes, I'll accept some. What I don't accept is the fact that this question of my involvement with RICO keeps coming up, and even my opponent knows I had no involvement in that. But yet, he drug somebody who had 40-plus years of doing nothing but righteous, good behavior for his community. 40 years as a cop, a real cop, not somebody who's claiming he has 38 years in law enforcement, and he's not even commissioned today. Doesn't carry commission today. No, I'm talking about somebody who was a cop out on the street, worked hard, worked from the ground floor to the top, and he drugged my name through the mud 4 years ago that I didn't even know he was doing it.
But early,
I didn't know he was a part of that.
But early on, you had initially denied that there was any violation of county procurement rules.
Absolutely.
You dismissed the FBI investigation as a waste of time. Months later, we have an indictment. Were you that out of touch with the department? Again, you weren't sheriff the whole time, but you were in a leadership role. Were you that out of touch that this indictment really surprised you?
Yes. Very
you,
much
you
so.
Were that out of touch.
Because Mark knows, and you know, Dan, that that department is rather large. And there's several areas within the organization that we would all like to know what's going on, but it's just not possible. Where you're at the Green Valley News, I guarantee you there is no way you can know every nuance in there.
All right.
This was an investigation that went back 18 years. Do you not believe for 1 second, if they had one shred of evidence for Chris Nattles going back 18 years, you don't think that would have come out?
All right, Sheriff, real quickly before we take the break.
Well, inevitably, under the federal equity sharing guidelines, the ultimate authority for the approval of RICO expenditures, as my opponent should know, it rests with the sheriff. Now, I'm not suggesting he was criminally involved. In fact, where I will give you credit, where you would give me none, is two investigations have, in fact, cleared you of any criminal culpability. That's a fact, Chris. The FBI investigation and the second investigation by the Attorney General's office found that you were not criminally culpable. Now, you won't give me the same benefit with respect to the Rule 15.
I absolutely will.
Well, you haven't, sir, but that's neither here nor there. I don't want to make you angry again, but the fact of the matter is that I sign those RICO things all the time, and I review them, and I am responsible. I'm ultimately responsible. Now, responsibility and criminal culpability are two different things, and we'd agree with that. So what you were found is to not be criminally culpable. It does not mean that you weren't responsible, and it doesn't mean that you didn't know. It simply means you were not criminally culpable.
No, wrong, Mark. If I had knowledge, knowledge in itself is a criminal act, and you know that. So don't go there. You know, Mark, that I would gladly say if you had two investigations done on your lying that I would clear and they cleared you, I would gladly give you that benefit. What
but,
you had
but we
was
did,
a
Chris.
Two no, you had a county attorney here locally who was a part of that case recuse themselves from it. Then they took it to the county attorney in
Pinal.
There was no investigation. They reviewed it. Rule 15 deals with disclosure and Brady. That was the only thing they said. They never said Mark didn't lie. What they said was, there's not enough here. Just like you said, well, this Merit Commission can't issue a parking ticket.
Brady list. Why do you get put on the Brady list?
Because you lied.
Was I put on the Brady list?
No, because the county attorney refused
to
do it.
That's all we need to know. Thank you.
The county attorney's opinion was they didn't think you could be.
We'll take a break right here. Let's talk about something really, really positive. Mona's Danish Bakery. We are so happy to have Mona's back with us. Mona's on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is open for breakfast, lunch, with indoor and patio dining, plus they would welcome an online order and pickup. Mona's is open Monday to Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 in the afternoon, Sundays 7 to 2. See you at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Sheriff Napier and Chris Nanos return with our discussion of the Pima County Sheriff's race. Dan Shear sticks around as well. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Be right back in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today is focusing on the Pima County race for sheriff. Sheriff Mark Napier is with us in studio, and the challenger, Chris Nanos, also is here. Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun is also with us in studio. Sheriff Napier, what about Stone Garden? Has it been a mistake for the board not to approve that money?
Well, in my opinion, it is a mistake. The board approved Stone Garden money for 10 years before I became the sheriff. It often was on the consent agenda. It never even stood the test of the light of the day. Both Sheriff Dubnyk and Sheriff Nanos applied for and received and approved Stone Garden funding before I became sheriff. Obviously, the national dialogue behind immigration and stuff has clouded this issue very significantly, but we do need that money for overtime and equipment, much like we did the decade preceding. We got about $6 million of equipment over the last 12 years out of Stone Garden funding. And if I didn't believe it was fundamentally important to public safety in Pima County, I wouldn't have applied for it. And I assume that both my opponent and Sheriff Dubnyk also recognized it was fundamentally important to public safety in Pima County, and that's why they applied for it and accepted those funds previously.
How about you, Chris Nanos?
No, I've always thought, I met with Mr. Kurlikowski, who was at the time the Homeland Security director, twice, and both times I told him he's costing us more than he's giving us. It's costing us to do business with them. And we're, I've always believed that we'll assist any agency, TPD, Marana, whoever you call us, we're going to be there to assist you, but assist you, not do your job. Stone Garden wants you to turn your team over to them, your deputies, and they manage them, they do with them as they please, and they don't pay the full cost of that. In fact, today I read an article, Pinal County, $75 million in debt for their pension costs. That's exactly to the core of Stone Garden. If you're not going to, people don't seem to understand, a deputy might cost a dollar, but reality is all the employee-related expenses, it's much more than that dollar. It's $2 or $3. Chuck Huckleberry said it's three, four times the expense of what Stone Garden funds giving. So it makes no sense. I know that 12, 13 years ago, the pensions were a different problem. Today they're not. And
Well, Bill, the last Stone Garden grant, we did get indirect funding in that. That was a bone of contention, and my opponent's right about that. It was costing us some money to take the money, but the federal government did acquiesce on that, and there was indirect cost coverage within this last grant program that was disapproved by the Board of Supervisors. So that's not the entirety of the reason that we rejected that funds, but it is a valid concern.
But I thought, Mark, that they had approved the funds because they thought they were going to get some monies for the migrant population and having to take care of those issues and as a humanitarian side. But the federal government turned that down as well. So that's when the board said, well, if you're not going to support us on a humanitarian side of this, we're not going to.
Well, the humanitarian side was a House bill that the sheriffs went up to Capitol Hill on, and I know because I was one of those sheriffs, and advocated for some of the redirection of Stone Garden funds to take care of the humanitarian crisis. So that was present, but it was partially because border sheriffs went to Washington, D.C. and advocated for that.
Dan, Sheriff.
Sheriff Napier, does it cost us to take Stone Garden money?
I don't believe it would have in this last grant because the feds did acquiesce on our request for indirect funding. Now, would that have been every penny? I don't think so, but it was a significant step forward.
So, Chris Nanos, then, if you are elected, then would you accept Stone Garden money?
No.
If it didn't cost us?
No.
Okay.
Well, If it didn't cost us, sure, but it does cost us. Mr. Huckleberry, at his last writing to the board on this, said three to five times the cost.
You said on this program a couple of months ago, Chris Nanos, that you sent some of the Pima County Stone Garden money to Santa
Correct.
Cruz County. On your watch, did you give anything else away that was meant for Pima County over
no.
the years?
No. Well, first of all, Dan, I take exception to the way you word that question. On my watch, Santa Cruz County has a budget of, at that time, maybe $10, $11 million. $1.4 million to a sheriff who's got $140 million is a very small amount, less than 1%. For a county like that, that's right on the border, that makes a big difference. We played with our partners in a good way to try to assist them. I didn't need that money, especially since it was going to tie us up in ways that financially, we talk about being fiscally responsible. It is not fiscally responsible to take money from someone that cost you twice, three, four, five times the amount. That just doesn't make sense.
But Pima County has border with Mexico. Immigration is a Pima County problem, not mm-hmm. just a federal problem.
It is a federal problem.
And you're giving this money to Santa Cruz County as if we don't have a problem.
So where are the numbers to show us our problem?
Well, you're saying that we don't?
That's exactly why the Board of Supervisors turned Mark down. He tried to make it a public safety issue, saying there's all these crimes on our border. But when they asked for those crime numbers, they were so low, he said they didn't exist, that we didn't have them. And that's not true. We've been keeping crime stats on that border. We don't deploy our staffing based on politics. We deploy them based on need. And if you're not getting calls for service in that area that are, require your response, why would you create a team? Talking about being out of touch, Mark has sat here and said they've been turned down, I don't know, four or five times, and yet now he's going to create his own border unit, put him at Rosebliss Junction to go patrol the border.
But why would we take this money for 12 years if there wasn't a problem? That's what you're saying. Sure. You were in a leadership position for years and years.
That's
and
not
we all know
that
Clarence
works.
Dubnyk checked out long before he left office. So it was really you were probably calling the shots on a lot of this.
No, that's not true at all.
Okay.
And for you to say Clarence Dubnyk was out of office or whatever, that's your opinion, sir.
I'm very curious, and I think our listeners who don't follow all of this really closely, they want to know, Sheriff Napier and Chris Nanos, are they going to be safer for the next 4 years under your watch or your opponents? We'll begin with you, Sheriff.
Well, first, we need to correct the record, is we can't give away what we don't have. It's not our money, grant money to give to Santa Cruz County, and I have the record in front of me. There's no evidence to suggest that we didn't spend the vast majority of the Stone Garden money over the last few years. That notwithstanding, we do have a rural district. It's not a border district. It's to fill a much-needed void in the way that we serve the area between the western edge of Santa Vera District and Sasebe, Aravaca. That has been an underserved area for a long time, and we've known that, that, you know, that Three Points area and the area abutting the TO reservation has been a pocket where we've not done good at serving that area. So there was COPS funding, which only allows me to hire additional deputies. They have to be new bodies. That's what COPS funding is.
Okay.
And so we're upping the rural district, and we shouldn't denigrate those folks in Sasebe and Aravaca as if they're not deserve the same protections as the rest of the county, and that's what we're doing there.
Okay. I think there are listeners who are saying, I don't care about Stone Garden. What I care about is if I live in the county, which I do, and I need a sheriff's deputy, I want to make sure that deputy is there as quickly as possible, and I'm going to feel safe. So I think that's what I want to address.
Though, as part of that rural district is to provide better response times to Sasebe, Aravaca, and some of the areas that have been traditionally served by Green Valley that have caused our response times in Green Valley to go up. So that is part of better response time, making Pima County safer. The fact of the matter is crime is down significantly in Pima County. It's part of a national trend, but crime is down significantly over the last 3 years in Pima County. So we are doing a good job of keeping the county safe. Our staffing numbers are consistent with other agencies of our size. So we're doing a really good job, and I wouldn't accept anything that denigrated the hard work of the men and women of our Sheriff's Department at keeping us safe, because I think they do a fine job of that.
What do you think, Chris Nanos?
Well, a number of things. One, crime is not down in Pima County. I don't care what numbers he comes up with. We already know there's a credibility issue there. But if you just look at the UCR, the FBI codes, it will show, in when I left office, we had 2 per 1,000 violent crimes. We had 18 per 1,000 property crimes. Today, he has 2 per 1,000 violent crimes, but he's at 25 per 1,000 property crimes. That's 3 times. That's almost a 30% increase in property crimes since he's taken office. The response times are critical. When you're depending on a 911 call and every second matters for life, we responded at 3 minutes and 56 seconds. His response times, his numbers, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes for calls that are priority one calls. He can't get away from the fact that staffing levels are at an all-time low, and that is what you get when you get low staffing. You're right. The public has a right to feel safe. They're not feeling safe today because there's not deputies out there to respond to calls when needed. Green Valley had 2 deputies on duty for an entire shift. 2. You can't do that.
I can make up numbers too,
yeah.
But I would prefer to look at the FBI crime reports, mm-hmm. which the charts are right here. These, unless you're alleging that the FBI is making up numbers,
no.
These are the crime numbers in Pima County, which clearly show a downward trend. There's no mistake about the numbers. I don't know where you get your facts, but we have a planning and research function that looks at these things now more so than ever before. In 2016, we had 9,743 Part 1 crimes reported to Pima County Sheriff's Department. That's in 2016. In 2019, that number was 8,993. I'm not sure where you're getting the escalation in that.
All right.
He asked where I'm getting these numbers. The KGUN 9 did a news report with his numbers last July. He knows what that report said. It showed those numbers. It showed everything I'm reporting. That's where my facts are coming from. You have those numbers on your web page, and they don't even total up right.
Dan, really, do you have anything? Why don't we come to you right after the break?
Sounds good.
Or do you have something about these
let's go
numbers?
Ahead. No, I don't.
I don't think we're going to get any kind of agreement here on the numbers. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Sheriff Mark Napier and Chris Nanos with us in studio. Dan Scheer is here. We'll take our break here, and we'll be back with segment number 3 of our discussion with the two candidates for sheriff. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday Focus interview today being devoted to the Pima County race for sheriff. Next Friday, we will devote the Friday Focus, at least two segments of it, to the very hotly contested Pima County supervisorial race in District Number 1. That is next Friday. But right now, it's Sheriff Mark Napier and Chris Nanos with me in studio, and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan, why don't you go ahead? And looks like we've got about a little over 11 minutes to wrap this up. So go ahead.
Chris Nanos, you would be stepping back into a law enforcement world that has changed dramatically even since you left 4 years ago with the Black Lives Matter movement, the push to decriminalize some actions, et cetera. What do you make of the public push for changes in law enforcement? And frankly, how much do you listen to those? How much do you would you follow their guidelines and what they want?
Well, I listen to the public all the time. That's what you're elected to do. As far as it's changed so much in 4 years, there has been changes, but I don't think the changes are what we really believe are as drastic as we think they are. For example, 4 years ago, we were still looking at costly prisons and costly over-incarceration rates and finding ways to eliminate those and looking at who's in our jail and why are they there. The 80% of people waiting for bail, for example. If I commit a homicide or you commit a homicide, God forbid, but we're going to be out of jail in a few hours because we can afford our bail. But somebody else commits a shoplifting, he could sit there for months waiting for his trial. When does your freedom depend on the size of your wallet? So those reform efforts were out in front of us back then. I brought in ankle monitors to keep people out of our jail, get them away from our system, and get them somewhere where we know where they're at. We could watch them and monitor them at $15 a day versus today's cost, $127 a day. That's tens of million dollars a year for low-level misdemeanor drug offenders, felonies that are possession of a pipe. Those are the ones, nonviolent. Let me be clear. You commit a crime, you're violent, you threaten violence, you belong in jail. You're sick, you're afflicted with mental illness or drug addiction, you belong in a hospital, not a locked jail cell. We have deflection here. Tucson Police Department found it. There's a program in Eugene, Oregon. For 30 years, they have taken their entire mental health and drug addiction program to this program called CAHOOTS. 150,000 calls this agency has handled for the police. They've called the police in 30 years 150 times.
All right. Sheriff, you want to respond to Dan's
question? Clearly there's a move for national-level police reform. I've been on several WebExes with leaders in Washington, D.C., and state leaders. And as a result of that, we're able to better define what we should be doing as far as reform here in Pima County. And that was the birth of our ACT reform plan, which we're really out on the leading edge of that. We've presented that ACT reform plan, which stands for accountability, community engagement, transparency, which are really the three pillars of what people are looking for in law enforcement reform in this country. We've been asked to do two nationally publicized WebExes, and we'll be featured in a national law enforcement magazine regarding the efforts of reform here in Pima County. One of the things I'm very proud of is the fact that now on our website, pimasheriff.org, we have a community accountability page, which is part of that effort toward transparency, which our policies are on there, our trainings on there, staffing numbers, response times, crimes counts, almost anything you can imagine wanting to know is right out there forward facing. We're starting a citizen review panel. We're doing the interviews for those right now. That'll be a citizen panel that will help us better review use of force issues, serious disciplinary issues, and that's an outshoot of our sheriff's citizen or community advisory council. So we're doing a lot to answer the community's cry for reform, which is both reasonable and appropriate. You'll remember, too, that the president established the President's Commission on Law Enforcement and the Administration of Justice. That hasn't been done since the mid-60s. So that's a very important undertaking that I'm also have been a part of. So we're really leading the way here in Pima County on reform efforts.
What else you have, Dan?
Proposition 207 would legalize recreational marijuana in the state. Sheriff, we'll start with you. How would it affect the department if it passes?
Well, it's going to have a mixed effect. I mean, we've looked at what happened in other jurisdictions. Now, Dan, I will say it's absolutely inevitable, I believe, that nationally at some point in the not distant future, marijuana will be legal. There are a couple of problems with marijuana as a drug. Marijuana is a fat-soluble drug, so it's very different in how your body treats it. Also, we don't have a presumptive level of impairment. We know that at 0.08, the presumptive level of impairment for driving is there. We don't have such a thing for marijuana. So it's from an enforcement standpoint, even in industrial injury type things, it's very difficult because I could be a heavy smoker of marijuana, test positive for marijuana because it's still being excreted from my fat glands, and actually be asymptomatic. So there's some problems with that. The other thing, because I was going to be a history teacher where I'm not a police officer, we've made these mistakes in the past. My parents thought cigarette smoking was safe. They did. Everybody smoked in my parents' generation because it was not deemed to be a health hazard. Then we most recently had this vaping craze, the safe alternative to smoking. Well, we learned that that wasn't true. This marijuana is not your grandparents' marijuana. The THC content's very high, and we don't know what the long-term public health consequences are and how the criminal justice system would adopt to this as a recreational drug. So I think there's some problems.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'll be very brief on the marijuana issue because if it passes, it passes, and we'll adapt to it. It's not our job to sit here and say should or shouldn't pass. When it passes, if it passes, we'll deal with it. There's other models out there across the country. 20-some states now have this. We'll learn from those things. I do want to go back on one point, though, on the reform issues that Mark talks about that he says on the leading edge. One of the things in his reform package is there is no mention of body cameras. In fact, recently said last night that body cameras are too costly. When I told them there's studies out there that shows it's less than $300,000 for 200-some cameras in 230 cameras in Spokane, which would be what you'd need probably for our deputies here. He said, I don't know where you get these numbers. It's called Google. You can research body cameras all day long. The most expensive body cam, including storage, is $5,300 per camera. You multiply that times the 200, you're still at less than 1% of a $170 million budget. Body cameras are not just needed, our deputies want them because they understand that they don't just protect the public, it can protect them.
All right, Sheriff, what about body cams? And then I want to give each of you a minute or two here to wrap this up. Go ahead. About body cams. Are they coming to the sheriff's department or what?
I think they're inevitable, and in my second term, I'm sure that we'll have them. It's more than that. Are you going to put them in corrections? I mean, there are a lot more than 230 that we're talking about. The initial cost is one thing, sustaining the program's another. The county attorney's office most likely would need additional personnel, so it goes beyond the scope of my budget. We have no appropriation for it in this year's budget, so no matter who the sheriff is in January, they're not going to be able to do this. The money's not there. So I think this is a very naive idea about $300,000 we could do this. It's just simply not factual.
All right, Sheriff, why don't we carve out Sheriff and Chris a couple of minutes here to wrap this up? Actually, it's going to not be 2 minutes, but about a minute or so to kind of summarize this whole campaign, which, let's face it, it's been a nasty campaign. How do you want, go ahead, make an appeal to the listeners right now for their support. Go ahead. Yes, Sheriff.
First of all, it's not nasty from my standpoint at all. If a false accusation is made, I'm going to defend myself. That's reasonable and appropriate. I've been proud to be your sheriff over the last 4 years. I think we've made substantial progress, but there's more progress to be made. I'm supported by the majority of the commanders and sergeants of the department, endorsed by Barbara LaWall, our Democrat county attorney, and all the Southern Arizona sheriffs. In addition, I have the endorsement of the FOP and both corrections associations, so I have wide support within the department. But we're doing a lot of really good things, and we need to continue with our reform efforts, bring to life the rural district so we can better serve that part of the county, and continue to move forward with the change that is both positive, supported by the community, and an attribute to public safety in Pima County.
How about you, Chris Nanos? Your final thoughts here.
Well, you know, to me, it's interesting. Mark has had 4 years, and he's done absolutely nothing except travel the country for the first 3 years. The COVID shut him down. And now, all of a sudden, 6 weeks before the election, he comes out with this 10-page booklet that he calls reform. And it's far from reform. He doesn't even face the number one and two issues with reform, that being body cameras. He poo-poos it that it's too costly. He's always deflecting and finding an excuse. The other issue is this community engagement team he wants to put out in the community, he wants it under law enforcement control. That's the whole issue of reform, was to take those programs that are better equipped by the medical health officials to let them handle that. My deputies and COs do a great job. They're wonderful people, but they're not equipped to deal with people who suffer from mental illness and drug addiction. There's other ways, other alternatives to dealing with these problems and these issues. Mark refuses to look at those issues. I'll tell you this. I will be here. I never left the state when I was the sheriff. I'm busy enough being the sheriff of Pima County. I'll be here for you. I don't have all the answers, but I know collectively with this community, we can get together and we'll figure out the issues and find the problems, find the solutions to those problems.
We've got about 90 seconds. Dan, do you want a few closing thoughts here, maybe a real yes or no answer from these two?
Sure. Chris Ann, so sorry. You know the corrections department end of the business because you, not only as former sheriff, but you also worked there.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that the pandemic is going to make it harder to find deputies and corrections workers? Is there a fear out there now of, because a lot of it's close quarters type work?
I don't think the pandemic's going to cause that fear. It's a tough job. I was there. It's a tougher job than being a street cop. I've done both of them, and I give praise to those young men and women in there. Every day they work hard. But yes, the pandemic is an issue that needs to be addressed, and hopefully we'll see that addressed here within
Sheriff
the next
Napier,
few months.
Same.
I think it's yet another strain on the profession. I mean, clearly there have been fatal COVID exposures in detention facilities across the country, and I think that reasonably gives us pause. But we brought Dr. Carmona on early on, and he gave us good public health guidance on how to better keep our inmates and our staff safe.
How about websites for each of you? Go ahead, Sheriff.
It's real easy. It's SheriffNapier2020.org. That's SheriffNapier2020.org. There's a lot of information on there, and I encourage people to visit the site.
How about you, Chris Nanos?
Nanos for Sheriff, and four is F-O-R, not the number. NanosForSheriff.com.
Well, thank you both very much. Thank you, Chris Nanos.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much, Sheriff Napier, and thank you, Dan Scheer. That's going to be wrapping up our Friday Focus interview today, focusing on the Pima County Sheriff's race. This is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Weekend Watch coming up next with Matt Russell on the Buckmaster Show on the first Friday of October. It doesn't feel like it. Probably it's going to be the hottest day ever in Tucson, Arizona, in October today. Have a great day. We've got Weekend Watch next.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Oh boy, am I ready for the weekend. It's Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning for a getaway over to the land of enchantment, just a three-hour drive from Tucson, so you'll be ready when New Mexico is ready to once again welcome folks back to the land of enchantment. You can start your planning now by going to southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all the information about things to do and places to stay. Weekend Watch, our longtime host, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm trying to get into the fall spirit here, Bill. It's a little bit difficult to do. I'm looking at all my sweaters in the closet with great enthusiasm, but man, oh man, I will take double digits for a high.
Oh my goodness, and soon it will be time, I hope, for you to put away that Speedo. But that's an image. Yeah. Maybe that's an image we don't need right now.
Consider that a public service to stow that
yes,
for the season.
Please, yes. What's this about? This is a big week, isn't it?
It sure is. And you know, one of the things that actually reminds us that we are in fall is Sonoran Restaurant Week. And it starts today, and it goes all the way through October the 11th. This year, nearly 40 local restaurants have developed three-course meals that are priced at either $25 or $35 per person, with a portion of the proceeds going to support the community food bank. Now, the landscape of participating eateries ranges from taco joints and pizzerias to fine dining establishments all over town, all offering these custom menus for affordable prices. You can check out the list of all the restaurants as well as their respective menus at SonoranRestaurantWeek.com. I may even try to hit them all myself.
Maybe in one evening. No, that will maybe over a full week you're going to need it for so many on the list. And speaking of restaurants downtown, we've got some reopenings.
So exciting, Bill. The downtown restaurant scene is vibrant. Once again, so many of the restaurants are opening up this weekend after taking some time off. Obviously, two newly opened eateries are Hub Restaurant and Creamery. They're sporting a new look after some changes to the dining room and patio. I'm just glad to hear that their housemade pastrami is still on the menu. And Penka Restaurant, which is introducing a new chef, including a Guajolote Rojo, which is braised turkey with a chili de ancho salsa. It is great to see downtown Tucson come alive again. Let's go out and support our local restaurants. What do you say?
And you said a new chef?
New chef at Penka. Yeah, I haven't had the chance to meet him yet, but I've always been a fan of Penka. They're wonderfully creative and imaginative cuisine. Not easy to find a chef that can just come into that style and do it beautifully.
And we still have another item I'd like to talk about. What do you think about when you talk about October and think about October? Beside cool weather and falling leaves, you think about Oktoberfest.
You certainly do, and it's another sign of the fall. Our friends at 1912 Brewing Company have some fun things planned to celebrate. Tomorrow, they're going to be releasing a new Mescalito Stout, which is a dark, roasty, and rich brew, notes of chocolate and coffee. They've even aged it on oak wood staves that they soaked in bourbon. Are you kidding me? Now, they're also going to be hosting a beer stein holding contest to see who can hold a full glass of beer the longest with their arms parallel to the ground. I think I'd make it about 10 seconds before I needed to stop for a sip. That's all tomorrow at 1912 Brewing for Oktoberfest.
I am ready to sign up right now, I'll tell you. All right, Matt Russell, have a great weekend. Try to stay cool, as the first weekend of October will be a very hot one. Thanks, Matt.
You do the same. Thanks, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. My thanks to my longtime assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose does such a great job making sure all of our podcasts are up at buckmastershow.com. Our thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing. Our thanks to Rincon Ventures for sponsoring our live line. And, of course, Green Things and Zocalo Village, our name sponsor for our studio. On behalf of everybody here at Bustos Media Tucson, Bill Buckmaster wishing you a very, very nice weekend.